PodNuts wants to thank everyone who supports the network by going to www.podnuts.com/Amazon.
Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 152. This is a show where we talk about all things computer related, just kind of the life of a tech and how, what is it that we do on a weekly basis? How is it that we manage to stay sane? How is it that we manage not to drive ourselves off of a cliff when we see it coming at us? That's why we come on here. We come on here to talk, to vent, to just be. My name is Martin Obando. I'm one of the hosts here. And we're having a good week, So looking forward to talking with you guys again, talking with Mitch and Tim. We're all here. We no more just the two of us song. We got to come up with there's the Three Amigos. There it is, the Three Amigos song. So now that's in everybody's head. I'm going to start introducing my co-hosts. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Better.
Better? It's nice to see you, Mitch. We were worried about you last week.
Well, as I said, I had some issues with my dog and
But everything's good, right?
Knock on wood. I had the stupid cold for almost 2 weeks, and it's getting better, but I'm still yakking here and there.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, except that wasn't. Excuse me. Except that wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
What? Wait,
is it the ghost?
Oh, don't say that around Martin. He don't like his.
I don't know. Own ghosts are scary.
I'd give anything to meet one.
Like.
Give anything?
I'm not like, scared. I want to meet one. I'm
you
still waiting.
A clown ghost?
I'm gonna get the Long Island medium. I'm gonna expose her. No, I'm not getting into that. Sorry.
Anyways, hey Tim, how's it going?
It's all right. You know. You know what? Actually, that the whole thing of clowns, I can't believe I'm dying. I just remembered this. I saw the funniest thing. This would have been like the funniest thing if I got to picture this. I wanted to go back and I forgot about it. But I was driving past the McDonald's in one of the towns here locally, and laying on the ground in the crosswalk in front of the McDonald's. Well, I swear this is the honest goodness truth. There was a mitten that was like, it was red and yellow stripes. And I wanted to run in there and just yell, has anybody seen Ronald?
His hands are cold.
Something bad happened to Ronald when he lost one mitten out in the street in the crosswalk. I'm just imagining something very, very bad happening. And why I didn't turn around right then and get that, I take a picture of that, I don't know. But anyway.
I can see all the people turning back looking at you after you scream that.
Well, yeah, and then I would just run right back. And then I'd be like, my name's Martin Abando, and I just run right back out of there.
No.
Oh, my.
I don't want to be associated with a cartel.
I'm like,
cartels, Ronald McDowell, the hijacking.
One clown I don't have to worry about anymore.
That's right.
Martin Abando.
One down, many to go. Pennywise, you better watch yourself.
Oh, man. So, anyway, I'm doing better than the Ronald McDonald figment of my imagination. I thought that was pretty fantastic. You know, and there's something sad about a lost mitten.
Yeah. There's a book about a lost mitten.
Never to be reunited with its mate.
I lose a lot of them.
I'm good at losing things.
Yeah, because I use them in the warehouse at work, and I'm constantly losing them.
Yeah, but I bet. See, I'm thinking your gloves, they're kind of like the gloves that I have here at the house, where it's like, I could end up with like, well, I don't. It's not like I can. I do. I end up with 15 lefts, but they're all like just shop gloves. So, you know, I just it's not like I'm wearing one that's striped red and yellow and other ones.
You know, I certainly hope not.
It's obvious that I'm just not getting it together here.
One's from Ronald McDonald. One's from Mickey Mouse. Let's see how this is going.
Making gang signs. Yo, watch out, Bird King.
I don't think the king wears a glove.
Don't make me laugh. I'll go into a big cough.
He doesn't anymore.
He'll wear what I want him to wear.
That's right. So, well, how about you, Martin? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm doing good. It was a good week. I had a couple big projects. Originally, we had talked earlier, and we thought about wasn't going to be able to do the show tonight, and we're trying to plan out an Office 365 or an Outlook hosted Exchange migration. The good part of it is that we are not going to be using the old emails, so the old emails are going to stay on POP. We just need to deploy and set up the new emails, which makes mail records really easy to transpose. We don't need to worry about a lot of that stuff. But the bad part is that it's, you know, 12 different sites all over the place, you know, 35 people. So it's a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of energy. And it's actually three different domains that we're going to be we're transferring. So we need to make sure that everybody's set up correctly, all their data gets moved correctly. So it's a fairly big project. And the gentleman that I'm going to be working with to get this done, who works for the company, over the weekend, we were talking back and forth and hoping to get some stuff laid out. And then one of the sites, they had a major pipe break and flooded the first floor of a complex.
Plumbing then.
Yeah, huge plumbing.
Actual infrastructure.
I know what that's like.
Figurative.
So I couldn't get all the information I needed to from him. So yesterday I got home and I was kind of debating whether or not I was still going to go today. Do I go and get part of it done, but not all of it, because I don't have all the information. And about 8 o'clock this morning, I just said, okay, we don't have all the information. Let's postpone it. And he said, not a problem. He was going to be back on site where he was working to try to resolve some of the issues with the water. And he'll still be there tomorrow, so we're going to get together tomorrow and try to figure it out. Probably push it back out, too. It looks like, for me, the next day that I'm going to be able to do it, I think, is going to be like the 3rd. So a little more than a week. But that'll give me a chance to get everything done, squared away, have a written up plan that we're going to go by. And one or two people, it's pretty easy. But, you know, you're looking at 35 people, three different domains, their data. You know, the same email account on multiple different machines, because it's their apartment complexes or property management. So you may have three or four leasing agents, and they all need to look at the main email, plus they have their own email. So kind of a big project. But I'm glad that kind of put off today. I was able to go through my email and get quite a bit of stuff done. But it's been a good week all around.
You seem very relaxed too, Martin, which... You haven't been very relaxed today for a while.
Saturday was really rough. I was pretty stressed out, and I said, that's it, I have to leave, and was really frustrated. We went on a nice 5-mile hike, which went kind of the hike was pretty much straight up halfway there and straight down the other way. But it was nice. It was nice just to get out in the woods, and it was raining and muddy, and so my shoes are all muddy. I'm going to be buying some, I need to go get some hiking boots probably today or tomorrow.
Had I done that, you would have had a stretcher, or you had to use your old experience with me.
It was slippery enough. We could just lay you down and said, just lean with it, Mitch.
And then I would slide all the way down.
Well, that's bingo.
Oh, I do well with the 2.5 miles down.
I can't, I'm better up than down. My knee is pretty shot. So going down, it hurts my knees.
Just tuck and roll.
Well, I guess I could do that. I roll quite well. It's tucking. I'm a little, not as limber as I used to be. I don't tuck very well.
Yeah.
No, it is. Yeah, anyway.
That 40.
Yeah, I've had a good week as far as that goes.
Phil, it does sound nice. Yeah, it does sound nice.
Definitely relaxed. We've had on and off okay weather.
We're still waiting. We had three or four inches of snow. Was it Friday or Saturday? But it didn't let, it only stayed on the, or laid on the grass. But still, and it's cold today. I think it's in the 30s right now.
Wow.
I'm ready.
How are you guys?
It's not even notable. I mean, at 3-4 inches, I don't even remember events such as this. It's not. It's just the winter never. I tell you what, my bulbs are out. I think I talked about that last week. I got bulbs starting up. So when my bulbs start up, I see green things popping up from the earth. I know we're just about there.
Well, and, you know, I've been having more and more meetings for softball. I'm on the board of directors, so the jerseys have been ordered. You know, we got girls signed up for softball teams now. I'm signed up for my softball. It's time. It's time for the weather to just behave, let the sun come out, you know, let the games play.
But you don't get that many sunny days a year anyway, do you?
We've had a good winter. It's been a really mild winter. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. Mitch set you up.
It's been raining today. I know. He did.
Don't even lie. I can look out your window. You said the ice cream man came.
Yeah, well, yeah. Last week. I did listen to the show.
Because the rain stopped, ice cream man came out.
Which
ice cream man shows up in the pouring down rain. If you don't like, it does rain here a lot, so you're going to get wet.
It makes things nice and green. Hey, we're having softball practice, but they're in the gym.
See, we don't practice until we can go outside.
That's because you don't care about winning.
Oh my!
It's because I coach for a rec league, and we're not supposed to care about winning.
Now that you're on the board, you better fix that. Oh, rec league! Come on, what's more recreational? You know what? What recreation equals fun. Fun equals losing. Nope, not in my world. We come to annihilate.
We'll have to talk about that in another show because I'm this. Both the other coach and myself are the same way. Not that we're going to go crazy, but you know we like to win. We like to get out there and train and have a good time. So we'll be making some changes this year. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good team this year. We picked up two. We have a player that came back from a couple years, and then her daughter, sister, who is a great pitcher. So between the sister, two sister pitcher catcher combo, and they are on fire. Yeah.
That's a good deal there, man.
Yeah.
Better hope their car didn't break down.
Well, and their mom's the coach, so.
Oh, man.
And she played college softball, so she helped one of the girls who just can't hit. Terrible, just can't hit. So I was sitting there with all the girls, and we were doing wiffle balls. I was just tossing 100 wiffle balls per kid to let them hit, right? And she probably swung at 20, just missed
everything. You're talking about slow pitch softball, not fast pitch, correct?
Right, this is slow pitch, but okay. I'm just tossing wiffle balls. I'm just putting them up so they can hit them. And she probably missed 20 or so. And then the coach came over, the new coach came over and said, here's what we're going to do. You're going to stand like this. You're going to put your arms like this. She says, this is uncomfortable. She says, trust me. The next 80 of them, she knocked all of them, slammed them into the fence. Good, didn't miss a one.
Wow.
So very excited about that. We're going to have a good team this year. We're going all the way. We're taking it.
You know, that's something that, you know, I think that illustrates I think it really illustrates something about human behavior or the way that we deal with especially those who, you know, we manage, who are in our employ, who, you know, we're leaders of, that, you know, you have people that, like, they just don't get it. They don't get it. It's like, why are they doing that? Why are they doing, and they just, you give them like a simple test. And it's like, sometimes you just got to take a moment and look at it and try, and sometimes just turn a knob, just a one tick, and they put it all together. Sometimes that's all it is. Sometimes it's just looking, and I know it's easy to get frustrated, like this person's just, oh, they're making me crazy, but sometimes it's just, you know, not approaching them as somebody that you have to manage or somebody that you have to, oh, yeah, I hear this person again, but somebody that you're coaching, and you just look, and you think, if there's just some one little thing, and sometimes it's all it takes. Sometimes they just need to be cracked in the head with something big, but, you know, how many times have you seen that, Mark, where you have, you know, anybody here playing sports, you know, it's like, so it's in the mechanics, or, you know, just the basics, the fundamentals. You just tweak something, the smallest thing, and boom. And then they're just killing it. And, you know, I think that there is a crossover there to people that you're working with. And, or even, I'm not just people that, you know, that are, you know, that you're over, but yourself too, that you're like, my gosh, you know, I know how many times I've really struggled with some concept, just play, you know, years and years. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's just, you know, some little aha moment. And I get that one detail and it clicks, and then boom, then I'm off the races, you know?
Right. Right. Usually when I talk to clients, they'll ask me a question, and usually it's regarding, you know, why is this here when this is like this, or something, you know, something obscure. And I usually try to come up with an analogy that either fits in their client. So I've got a client who is they sell and put together pumps, like for, I've maybe talked about them, for like koi ponds and waterfalls. Sure. And stuff like that. And they're running out of room on their server. So what's happening is the WSUS file is pretty big, but that's just updates that the server pulls down so it can deploy out to computers, right? And so I was talking to him about, well, he says, well, don't we need those? Well, we won't need those, right? And I said, well, we do. He says, but if our computers get updated, then they should go away. I'm like, well, yes, but then they stay, and because you need them again. And we do shrink them down, but it's just a matter of talking to him, you know, cause he's trying to put two and two together, and it didn't quite match up. He was always coming up with three or six, or it just didn't work. And so I kind of had to think, well, how am I going to explain this to him? You know, his layman's terms, or I'll talk to, you know, what I love to do is talking about how I have to reboot servers, or we need to shut down something. And people kind of look at me, you know, well, why would we need to do that? And I always like the one I said, it's kind of hard to change the tires on your car when you're driving it down the road. We have to stop the car. We got to do something, you know, and they go, oh, that makes sense.
I mean, we can refuel this airplane, but you're going to spend military money.
Right.
We can refuel it in the air.
So.
But it's going to take military money. Yeah. You know, well, yeah, the WSUS file, it's a recirculating file. it gets used again and again.
Yeah. So he's
much like a recirculating pump in a koi pond.
Right. Right. So one of the options for this So one of the options for this client is they're gonna clean up some stuff. They need to clean up some data off their old machines and we need to probably at some point we'll probably have to buy them a new hard drive because they're definitely running out of room.
That's an issue. I mean, how big is that file?
It's I think this file is a little over 200 gigs. So
all right, okay. So that's a pretty chunky file.
It is a pretty good file. All right. You know, on a 500 gig hard drive, that doesn't leave them a whole lot of room left.
Yeah. That's okay. All right. I could see why that would probably draw the first questions.
Right. Well, I'm the one who put, you know, I'm the one who came, who wrote, you know, I ran, what is it, tree size free or something like that, which said free file sizer. It tells you what's in every location and how big they are. And I wrote it out. I said, this is what's taking up the primary one. And then you have these ones and these are, you know, you got a lot of MP3s and you got a lot of movies that your clients or your employees are just having on the server. Maybe we don't need those so they don't get backed up. Maybe they can put them on their own machine. And that kind of started the conversation of, well, what's needed, what's not needed. And we were at the server almost 3 years ago, that's when they were coming with 500 gig hard drives. And now they just throw terabyte drives in there. So they're just running out of room. Get that cleaned up. I was called into a client. Unfortunately, I forgot what I talked about last week. This client, what we did is I had to set up another wireless access point. We don't have access to the main router, so we did this in bridge mode, and it worked great. Put it in bridge mode, hooked up the computers locally to it, so now the computers are on a little local LAN, but yet they just talk to the wireless router. The wireless router just is in bridge mode to the other wireless router, which I don't have access to, and away they go. So that was good. We put in a little like WDR 3600. So it's a high end. It's a medium end TP-Link router. They are looking at moving. So I went ahead and probably purchased a little bit more than they needed for what they needed right now. But they will be moving, and then we'll have access to their own router, their own network, their own switch, and stuff like that. So this will get. I was thinking ahead, and this will get used later on into their new shop. Deployed a brand new laptop yesterday. Worked out great. The customer is so excited about it. She went from an old Core 2 Duo to a running Windows 7 to a nice i5, 8 gigs of RAM, a nice Dell, and just, you know, night and day difference just to get everything up and running. And she's so excited about that.
Nice.
Had this happened yesterday. So love my GFI. Antivirus managed all that kind of stuff. So yesterday I'm working here and I get an email that says, you know, a virus was detected, and it's been quarantined. I said, okay, it happens all the time, but,
right.
But this is a resident use computer in one of the agencies that I work for. So, you know, again, it's a property management company. People can have, they go to their homes, they can use a computer, or if they come into like the clubhouse, there's a computer that they can use. And this was flagged from this clubhouse computer. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Let me go quickly take a look. So I use my Screen Connect and jump on there and take a look. Well, no, nothing's happening. So, and I go to do something else and I forget to close it. And then all of a sudden the mouse starts moving around again. I'm like, okay. And so I noticed that somebody had plugged in their Samsung phone and was trying to root it from this computer.
Oh my gosh.
And they went to some something.eu.ru site to get this stuff. You know, I mean, I'm looking to see what this guy's doing. He goes, and
I love anything that ends in .ru.
Right. Right. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, now I'm going to watch.
I am infected.ru.
Right. So I'm going to watch this for a little bit. It's not my job to really do this, but hey, it's open. And so I'm watching it and they're running a standard user. They don't have administrative rights. So the administrative box pops up. I see, you know, dot, 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 dot. Nope, wrong password. Dot, 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 dot. Nope, wrong password. Dot, 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 dot. And I'm just watching this person try, and finally they give up. Okay. And then they start opening up the zip file. Bing, my little warning goes off again, because it's, you know, it keeps grabbing whatever they're downloading. They right-click, and they try to edit an INI file. That's not working. And then for some reason, I have no idea why, they go to Google and they're looking at the source code of Google. Like, I don't know what they're doing, but they're, you know,
they didn't either.
Yeah, I don't know. So they're hitting F12 and IE and they're looking, they're highlighting like little sections of the snippets of the code behind the scenes. And I'm like, I don't know what you're doing. So So I watched for about 5 minutes. I'm like, okay. So I go on the phone and I call the agency of the company. I said, hey, is, you know, Sylvia the boss there? No. Is the next person down? No. Okay. What about you? Where do you stand? And all that. I said, hey, so here's what's going on. And I told them the story. And they okay, hold on. We'll go check it out. I got to put on hold and the mouse is still moving around and things are doing some stuff. And then all of a sudden, they get back on the phone. They said, yeah, there was some kid there and he was just charging his phone, and he was using his laptop. I said, whatever. I said, that's not even remotely correct. So then last night we go ahead and all I was doing was just,
oh man, you know what? That was just such a great opportunity to really mess with somebody. You could have opened a little chat window that's, and you could have typed anything, made it look like a warning message, like, confirm wipe entire phone? Yes, no.
No. Oh, that would have been fun. But we were just pointing them to OpenDNS last night, not doing any content. I mean, we were doing filtering, but letting OpenDNS filter. We didn't log in and set up rules. And so I did that last night and got them all set back up with that. And but it was just one of those things where I have never seen somebody just try to just get around it. You know, I know it happens, and I get flagged about it, but I happen to be in the right place at the right time, so.
Yeah, to actually watch it, that's fantastic.
No, I was just charging my phone. I said, no, you weren't. Go away. I don't know what she said to him, like, oh, by the way, the tech guy's watching you, and you're doing something illegal, or what, but it was interesting, because when I jump in, the screen goes from the... Thank you. The screen goes black, because when the screen connect tech, you know, I don't want to pass all that image traffic through. It makes a black screen. So I saw him mouse hit the stop and then go look in the task tray and go look over here. So he knew that something was up, but it was kind of hard.
For a moment there, he probably thought it was UAC without the additional dialogue prompting him to make a decision.
I should have jumped on and said, hi, I'm support from Microsoft.
Oh, man.
You have the Clippy 32 virus.
Or just no support for the. Did you say the name of the brand of the phone he was trying to read?
I thought it was a Samsung phone, but I could be wrong.
Hello, the Samsung support. May I help you?
We noticed you plugged your computer phone into the internet. That activates our online live chat.
That's right. Would you like assistance in rooting your phone?
RF. Just started deleting stuff. So that was fun.
That is cool. Right place, right time.
Yeah. That was That's pretty fun. We received a Vox. I actually got a Vox from Jeff Owens, Blackhammer. And so he wanted to talk to us about, speaking of GFI, he's been using the mail program. And he sent us a Vox, and I asked him, hey, could I put this on the air? And he said, yeah. So here's Jeff.
Hey, Martin. Wanted to send you a Vox or tell you the GFI Max mail service. I did get it installed. Their tech support is not all that good. I talked to this guy, Nathan, twice, and he tried to help me. He was spot on with the settings for a DNS and for how to set it up coming to outgoing, because I had them scan outgoing email. But the incoming and from there to HostGator wasn't working. I contacted PostLayer, which is one that Alistair McLean recommended on admin, and contacted PostLayer. So I wanted to do a trial. I got HostGator. See, that's one of the sites you guys use. I'm not sure how to set it up. He says, well, you set it up just like they say, give it the two, DNS for your MX records, but set it as a local server. And see, HostGator was setting it as a remote server. And that's what I kept doing, letting HostGator set it. Once I set it as local server, it's awesome. It works great in a week. I've been using it for almost 2 weeks now, and the 6,000 emails that came through, 69% were spam or viruses. And of those, it's about 25 to 30 were viruses that got through that we just went back and tagged them as false positives. I still have some that are going straight to HostGator's IP address. I'm trying to filter those out, but they're still, you know, probably every day, especially right around my lunchtime, which is 11 Eastern, I get this barrage of eFax or Todd sent photos or things like this, and usually in 20s, to abcdefg@keyfasteners.com. But it's working great, so I'll see how well the charge and everything works out. But it is an awesome program. GFI Max Mail. I think it's like mail.maxfocus.com. So it works good for me.
Cool. I wanted to, thank Jeff for that Vox, because I asked him, hey, I'd like to play this on the air, because GFI, the Max Mail, is, of course, by the same company that I use my my managed antivirus, and really looking forward to that. And how these work is kind of what he was saying, is you point your mail, you going from you to the internet, goes to GFI, the Max Mail, first. Then you set on their side. It's kind of like it's a pass-through. Then on their side, you pass it out to the internet, and then vice versa coming in. So they're scanning everything going out and everything coming in. They're the first hop. And I don't remember them being that expensive. I'd have to go through my notes and look, but I think it was something like $6, $7 a user. It's per mailbox. So I have another company who right now is, you know, I heard about it yesterday again, lots of spam. I'm going to be looking more into this, writing a proposal and saying, you know, would love to implement this in your guys' sites, just to keep them from getting so much spam. They're saying they're getting 50 to 60 spam messages a day. And so that's just, that's a lot. And I'm just quickly looking within my GFI toolbox here, if there is a mail filter, but I don't think this is all stuff that's local. So I'd have to set it up on, it would be another third party, not a third party, but I couldn't, it won't integrate into my GFI dashboard. That makes sense. But most of these spam filters, what's nice about these is that you do get notice, that something's been quarantined, or you get a notice that over, you know, within the last day, something gets quarantined. Then you usually have a login. So you have an admin login and then client logins, and that way I could give, you know, user A a login so that user A could go in, look and see what's been quarantined, and then they can release anything or put a filter in there for, say, false positives. So I'm going to be looking into that and probably just seeing if I can get a demo and try it out for myself. I don't get a lot of spam, but, you know, it'd be worth to try it and see what's going on.
Interesting.
Mail
Max. My son just got back from Disneyland, and one of the things that I was thinking about it was it's spring break. You know, I'm going to be heading off. I'm going to six. I'll be in four different airports coming up here, and there's always, you know, there's exactly. Couple is good. My daughter's like, yeah, we're going flying, and I'm like, well, we fly from here to here to here, and then we go from there to there to there to there, and she's like, oh man. Not that many. I'm like, come on, but this is the landing and the taking off. That's the fun part. She says, no, not really. So I'm going to get my kids tired of flying. But what I wanted to this is the Geeksters public service announcement regarding Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi security tips. Just another one that I thought, you know, it's always good just to throw this back out to our listeners, even if nothing else, just for me to remember things, you know, that you should avoid. You know, it says avoid free public Wi-Fi, but if you can't avoid a free public Wi-Fi, then, you know, make sure you have a firewall. You know, make sure your passwords, you know, are you can always change them through something like LastPass. If nothing else, a VPN is the best way to go ahead. Turn on your VPN and then make sure all your data is passing through it. But just a friendly reminder that, you know, when you're traveling, it's spring break here in Oregon, that when you're traveling and you come across a free Wi-Fi, don't just automatically connect to it. Think about, you know, what am I going to do with this? What do I need to do with that? And, you know, another option, and a lot of people have these, including myself, is you can use your smartphone as a hotspot. Then you connect to your smartphone. You're the only one on it. And then, you know, what you can do is turn off the wireless on your phone. So now you're just using cellular data. And so you connect to your hotspot on your phone. Your phone goes out just through the cellular. It's not just passing on the data right through the public hotspot, because that's pointless. At least, you know, now you have your own little private LAN.
That is good advice.
Now, it does cost data, you know, so know that you're going to be using up your minutes, or if you're on an unlimited plan, have at it. But, you know, I have a plan that I have to share with my family, and, you know, so if you're getting close to that, but, you know, in a pinch, if you need to get something done, it may be, you know, it may be worth that little bit of overcharge to have a secure system, so you can get what you need to get done.
If you have a cell phone with a data plan and you don't know how to set up tethering, figure it out now, because
if you don't, I would imagine our audience, you know, that's probably pretty much a slam dunk. But I mean, if you don't, you know, figure it out. Find out if there's an application running on, you know, available on the phone, let you do that. You know, set it up, try it out. You know, configure the credentials and everything. And if, because maybe you need to, you may need to research a third party application from, of course, I'm thinking Android, I'm thinking the Play Store, but you figure it out now, because, you know, it's extremely handy. And if you ever get a spot where you, gosh, yeah, I sure wish I had this, it's too late, because trying to figure it out on the fly can be a huge hassle. So, and it's something that I do all the time. You know, I get in the car, we're going for an hour and a half, boom, you know, I just throw the tethering up, and the kids, it's almost the difference between the kids driving me insane for an hour and a half in the car, or they're just sitting back quiet, happy, because they're, you know, I don't know, doing whatever it is they're doing with their DS, the tablet, and the whole thing. So, extremely useful. But like what you said, how many times I've set up a hotspot and pull out the laptop, or my wife with her work, she has a handheld scanner that has to be synced periodically, usually by the time she gets home at night. But there's been a few times at a pinch, she's set up tethering on the phone, boom, synced at the store, and Bob in law is your cousin, or however that went.
Uncle in law is
Bob. Uncle in law. Uncle in law. Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's actually a really good tip. That's something we haven't really talked much about on the show, but that's a huge part of my almost daily life. So, honestly, if that's not something you've done before, do it, man. I encourage you to get it set up ahead of time, because when you need it, man, you need it. You don't be fooling around with it.
Right. I also carry around a little, and I've talked about it on the show, a little hotspot. I have one of those. It's not the best hotspot. It's through, it's not through my local wireless carrier, so it doesn't always connect, but it's just the same thing. It's just my little local LAN, but when I can make a connection with it, it's really good, and it's unlimited for a fairly low price. So you can always look at maybe getting something that's separate from your phone plan that is strictly just for internet access only.
Oh, that's, really? You have, see, Verizon sells a Jetpack. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
Something. Well, actually, this is through Clear.
Okay.
And it's unlimited. It costs me $55, $56 a month for unlimited amount of data. The problem I run into is that it doesn't work everywhere. So I'll take it with me to California, and it won't work in California. So then it doesn't really do me a lot of good. Even here in my home, my neighbor, a good friend of mine, is in a different area. So my neighbor, relatively speaking, you know, half a mile away, his neighbor, their dog bit through their Comcast connection. So he works from home. He runs a business, and so they were down for 3 days because the Comcast guy wouldn't come into a backyard that had a pit bull in the back of it, and they locked the back. Yeah, they locked the chicken. They locked the gate. So once they got everything up and running, they're fine. But I offered him my little hotspot, and it wouldn't connect. It wouldn't work.
Aww,
so
I felt, way.
But yeah, he said.
Let's see. That's okay. So well, what when you do have like a good. Yeah, when you are getting a good signal, what kind of speeds are you seeing with that?
Nothing great. Maybe 10 megs or so, 10 to 12 megs down.
Well, yeah, that's good. What are you doing?
It's faster than my phone. It's at least equivalent to my phone, because I think on my phone I get about the same thing through cellular. So, I mean, I don't connect to my hotspot to stream a movie. I could do that, you know. You could. I mean, there's nothing that says you couldn't, but, you know, usually if you're going to connect to a hotspot when you're traveling, you're doing things like checking email, or you're you know, writing a report, or your, you know, things like that. It's not, you know, I guess you could, but the Clear has it there. It's completely unlimited, unblocked. You can do whatever you want with it. So, I've only done a little bit with it.
Well, yeah. For, I mean, geez, what'd you say? $55, $60 a month. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's great in metropolitan areas, but not so good in just small little towns. And they told me, it's going to sync off all the other antennas. And I thought, oh, that's great. I can get cellular access anywhere. It's not so much, but
it's, you know, Clear, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, but, you know, AT&T wants to sell me one for $80 a month that taps onto my current plan, or I have to buy a whole new plan, or, you know, so I'm not paying as much, but I'm not getting as much, which, you know, you get what you pay for, and I live with that.
Well, I mean, nothing's going to work, you know, in every scenario, 100% of the time. And, you know, I mean, if it's mostly in metropolitan areas, and that's where you tend to be, I mean, well, That suits your needs. And, you know, actually what it needs to do is it needs to, as long as it works in, I'm trying to think of what I'm going to say. I mean, as long as your phone still has good service at the handful of times, maybe it doesn't. Well, you're set. I mean, big deal. I mean, it's not, if that's just on occasion. But apparently, I mean, if you're keeping up the contract, it must be working well enough for you and what you want to do with it.
Yeah, I don't use it as much as I probably should to keep, to say justify it, but it's a business write-off, so it's like,
I don't know. I mean, I know what would happen in my case is that if it served like one emergency purpose, like just once a year,
it's worth it.
Exactly. And that's like what it is.
And that's I would end up justifying that way.
That's what it is for the the four or five times I go, oh my gosh, I need something. It works, and that's great. Right. It pays for itself then.
There you go, beautiful.
So speaking of business write-offs, I purchased a new toy today. I had a client. So the client where I was talking about the koi pond is the same client who gets the spam, who's the same client who called me today and said, I get a phone call, I start taking notes on a piece of paper, and I go, before I get a chance to enter that information into their database program and make some notes and get some stuff, I get another call. And then I get another call and another call. And he says, now I'm five calls into it, and I forgot what I was supposed to do with the first one, and I have no way of saving the data. What's out there, what's available that you can maybe sync to your computer or something like that with like a notepad, like a physical notepad? And I said, well, let me go look. So I called up, our good buddy Liam at Liam Tech and asked him, hey, have you heard of anything like this before? I was doing some research, but he comes across.
That's how I look things up too. I just call Liam.
Well, he comes across so many different things. It's not that I don't know what I'm doing.
I've been searching for days. Liam,
if you guys ever get a chance to talk to Liam, he comes across with he'll have people bring him like the weirdest stuff. Yeah. And so he just gets this random amount of stuff. And so if something's out there on the market, he has either seen it, heard it, or owns it at some point. So I called him up and I said, hey, here's what I'm looking for. And he goes, oh, Hack 5 just did a big thing on that. And they talked about what's called the boogie board. And so it's myboogieboard.com, BOOGIEBOARD.com. And I got the boogie board sync today. I was looking at two different ones, this one and another called DigiMemo. Now, DigiMemo looks like more like a clipboard with a sunken-in paper that almost as if the stylus itself, when you're writing on it, the stylus is keeping track of the movements. It has some functions on the side, but it really kind of looks like it's a little antiquated looking, okay? The sync board is e-ink, and it has a stylus with it. It has an onboard memory, so you write stuff up, you can sync, you can save it right then and there. You can sync it via Bluetooth, you can sync it USB. It's got micro USB to your computer, so you can just save it, pull everything off. The storage on board, it says it can save up to 5,000 PDFs files. It syncs via Bluetooth. I'm assuming it doesn't look like it has wireless, but it has Evernote integration, so I'm not sure how that works. But you can save your documents right to there. So while I was talking to Liam, I was looking around and I realized that I had three notepads of random notes. I have like a big to-do list of major projects coming up, and I have a to-do list today, like, don't forget to charge this client this because I'll forget. And then I've got a little, like, then my wife will call and say, hey, can you do this? And I quickly got to write down some notes or whatever. So I'm always writing notes down wherever I go. And so I thought, let me give this a shot. So I purchased one of these today, and I'll get it tomorrow. I did overnight it because I wanted to take it with me on my trip.
Sure.
To see what it would do, but it looks like, I bought the board itself, I bought the case, and then an extra stylus, and then I bought the warranty, and then next day, all for, I think it came out to like $147.
Okay, cool. Well, I look forward to hearing that.
My Staples has some in.
Is it cheaper, of course?
I don't know. I'm just...
I could have just went across the street. No. It's all right. I supported podnuts.com/Amazon with it.
Oh, very nice.
So, that's going to come in tomorrow. So I'll be messing with it on the trip, playing with it, testing it out, and I definitely come back. It also acts, because it syncs via Bluetooth, I don't know how this works in Linux, but it will act as a mouse pad.
So a giant touch pad.
Yeah, yeah, and you can use the stylus to point, click, and open, and adjust. I don't know if it... It looks like there's have you guys ever used kind of in the, within the schools they have like their smart boards? Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Where you write maybe you write on something and it shows up on the board, or you can write on the board and they can print it. Well, so what happened is this is basically it has a virtual notepad on the computer and you can write on the board itself and then it shows up on the computer as it's following you.
Gotcha.
I'll have to find the Hack 5 episode that they interviewed it. They did a run through with this, and it is e-ink. It doesn't it's not backlit. So one of the things they mentioned was it doesn't really work good in low light. But if you're taking notes in an office or something like that, that should work well for you. You know, I'm going to a Linux Fest coming up here in a month from today. I have my little Nexus 7, and I thought I'm going to put Evernote on my Nexus 7, so when I'm at a conference, I can start typing stuff out. I can take notes in the Evernote. That way it syncs across the board. I don't type that fast, and especially with a stylus and a virtual keyboard. So this is going to be a great way for me to, create, just quickly jot down some notes or some web addresses or something like that on this boogie board. So my little gift to me today, and I'm going to see how it works.
Well, we expect a user review.
I will do. If I can't do one next week, which we'll see what happens, but I will definitely have a user review for it.
You can just type it up. Everything's all misspelled. Written badly.
Yeah, that would be
just. Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of those types of devices now. Look at them. It's like, I don't know. You know, because the tablet is an awesome device, but it seems to me it seems like there's something missing, like an interface. But as soon as I try something, a keyboard, it's a this or that, Bluetooth, it's like, it's just one more thing for me to carry around. I have to hook it up. I get it out. What am I doing? I don't know. I suppose if I had more routine in my life, I would probably find. I'm not saying it's bad and it's not going to work for you, but I've just never found something that I felt like.
See, if you had the Note 4 with the stylus, that would solve that problem.
Yeah, well, you know what? Unless that stylus can find its way home, I'd lose that day one.
Yeah.
I would. That's me. These people, after a month, I see they still have it. I'm like, wow, you're like a god.
Well, it goes without saying.
But I'm a train wreck. I'm not telling anybody anything new.
Anyway. I will have a link to the show notes. Swift 110 in the chat asked me for the link to the Hacked 5 article. So it'll be in the show notes. But it's about 7 minutes in is when they start talking about it.
So. Cool.
One of the things that I have used this file in the past, and my family, we are a cross-platform family. My daughter has a Linux box. I have a Linux box. My daughter now wants to go back to Windows a little bit. My wife always is Windows because of her work. My son uses a Chromecast. I don't know how this is going to work on a Chromecast, but there's an application out there called Nitro Share, and I've used it before, and it works really well. What it is it's an application that you can put on Windows boxes and Mac, or Windows and Linux. I don't know if it runs on Mac, but it allows you to be able to see all the application itself creates kind of a peer-to-peer network within itself. You have to be on the same LAN or the same subnet. So my wife can't take her computer to work, and this is not going to jump that. That's where you're going to want to run. You're going to run something like BitTorrent Sync or Dropbox, something like that. But within the same local area network, you can run a program called Nitro Share, and it will sync data. Oh yeah, no, it is. So it's Linux, Mac, and Windows, and they can all be on. You can just drag and drop files in there. It shows up at the other computer because it shows the computers. So you can be. It's not Dropbox or BitTorrent Sync in the way of there's not a central repository. Mm-hmm. You're actually pushing data to a certain computer. So from this computer to that computer. And I've used it before. It worked fine. I didn't think it was great, but it looks like they came out. Maybe they did an update to it. Linoxide, Linoxide, came out with a new a how-to about it. And I thought I'd share it out with that in case somebody's looking for just a quick. I just need to share data within my local LAN.
But can't you do that with Samba?
Well, you could, but then somebody you'd have to share data somewhere. Yeah, I mean, you could. This isn't anything new under the sun,
right.
this type of an application. But yes, you could put on a Windows box and do a Samba share and then point everything to that same Samba share if you wanted to. And, you know, this is just an easy way of just creating, you know, installing an application and just making a connection to it.
So I have all my, of course, these are all Windows machines. Maybe five of the PCs where I can just have them all on and just move files back and forth to any of them.
Right. Right. And yeah, and that does.
That's
and that
Windows. Does might be a little easier, though.
Yeah. Well, and that does work great. But then, you know, sometimes if you're in an internet, say you're in a network that, so for the Samba shares for you, Mitch, you'd have to have the right authentication between each of the machines because you probably don't have a domain controller.
No.
So you have to make sure that the same usernames and passwords are across all the machines.
I have no passwords.
Right,
but I had to share each folder, though, you know, enable.
Right, so this won't require that because it itself talks to it. You know, it's its own little proprietary little peer to peer network. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, like I said, this isn't anything new under the sun. It's been around for a while, but I thought, hey, if somebody has a Mac, a Windows, and a Linux, and their multi cross platform environment, and they want to try this out, here you go. I used it when it first came out and thought, this is pretty slick. And then really I kind of stopped using it because I thought, well, how often am I going to push something? You know, I'll just push it from my Linux box to that Windows server behind me. Yeah. Well, that Windows server already has an SMB share on it. So it's like, well, I just connect to the SMB share. Yeah. Yeah. So,
you know, I have an Android app that nothing at all like this, but you remind me of it. It's in the Play Store. It's called Shares Finder, one word. I love it. I use it all the time. It's earlier versions of Android had such a feature in it. I'm trying to think. Maybe it was Ice Cream Sandwich. I don't know. I'm thinking way back. But I want to say with Jelly Bean. Oh, it went away. I don't know. I'm not Android guru. So I don't know. Look it up. I don't care. But it's like. I know that I have shared folders on computers in my network here at home. And I want to access them. It's like I remember when that went away. I was like, well, yeah, I don't know. I could. It says you want to connect to it. I don't know its location right off. I had to type in all the credentials, all the stuff. It's like I don't know the IPs of the machine here on my network at home. And so anyway, Shares Finder. It will. It's kind of like when you run. What is it, Angry IP Scanner or something? It kind of finds all of the devices on your network, and then when you click on, you put in the credentials so with a username and password, and then it'll show you all the shared folders. It makes it really easy to find, a shared folder you're looking for. So Shares Finder, this is not the Android show. I don't know. There may be a better application, but this is one that I hit upon. It's always worked really well. I love it. And so I kind of want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I have all my stuff, like media share. Like I might have a movie on one machine, and then I got my smart TV, and I'll just play it right from the computer. And then we were watching a movie last week. My wife decides to turn her computer on, and it just knocked everything out. So I don't know what it was, probably the TP-Link wireless router. Cause I have a HP wireless router that was still working. But the funny thing is my phone was working fine, but all the computers are connected to it just cut out in the TV.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know, it just happened to overload cause I could have probably 10, 11 things connected at any one time if everything with the phones and tablets. So, but I'm not sure what happened. But I mean, as soon as I reset it, and unplugged it, plugged back in, it was fine.
Yeah, sounds like it just overloaded. Dennis Kelly in the chat let me know that that the Boogie Board at Staples is like $34.99 or $39.99 and $29.99, right around there. Those are the original what are called Jot, so the Boogie Board Jot. And that is a one-page only, you write it out and that's it, type format. But so the sync, the bigger one, that actually will save multiple pages and stuff. And the one thing I did forget to mention is that there is no way to erase a line. So that is the one kind of downfall that I've been hearing a lot about, is that if I take a lot of notes and I mess up a line, I can't just erase a line. I got to erase the whole page. In that aspect, it's kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah.
You just got to shake it. But, you know, you just...
If you shake it hard enough, everything will go away.
Yeah. Edge of sketch.
Yeah.
Hey, you could take one of those.
So I just I was talking to Dor actually earlier, and he's thought about maybe just getting the Jot one, the single one page one. But he's also interested in the the sync as well. So, and I did put a link in the show notes regarding the file shares that you were talking about, or shares finder. Yeah,
it looks pretty cool.
I did find it and put it. It's in the show notes as well, and that does look pretty good.
Me likey.
Yeah, I use the the ES File Viewer, ES File Explorer.
Okay, yeah.
Me too. Also has a stuff, but you need to know the SMB. So I will use that to connect to my SMB share, like my NAS, so I can view videos or something like that.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It actually needs that extra bit of information. It's like, well, I don't remember that. I can't remember my own phone number. I can't remember all that. And so the shares finder just kind of goes through and says, aha, here it is.
Yeah, no, that looks good. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to install it.
It's free, and there's ads and crap and stuff. So, I just noticed that. So if you like it, you get rid of the ads. I'm sure it's probably some paid version. I don't know.
Well, you know, I end up going into a site, and I'm always asked, can you find out, what's available on our network and stuff like that? So this is one of those apps where it's like, well, I open it up, I scan it, and, I scan it and I do a scan the network, and now I can say, oh, look, this is what's available on your network. And give them a way that we can start locking things down or something like that. So that's
right.
Yeah. It's got a nice interface. It first thing it did was find everything, and it tells you, whether it's, it does a IP address scan. So it's scanning everything. So it's a nice IP scanner, and then just tells you right off the bat, SMB. So like this one here, this is one of my routers. And the first thing it does is it's in red and it says web, router, web server. This one over here tells me it's my server, my NAS, and it says SMB and gives me the information about it. This one over here is my print server, and it says FTP print services on. So it's a good way that's a nice little find. Thanks, Tim.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
We received an email. Go to my email here. And so last week we talked about the Bitdefender box. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So this is from, let me pull my email. Sorry. This is from Todd Blout. Blout? Sorry, Tom, if I've messed up your name. He said, I heard you talking about the Bitdefender box. It's cool, but you have to pay $99 a year and $200 for the box. I'm waiting for my iShield from ITUS Networks. It's ITUS Networks. The box is $188 and no subscription fee. Watch it on Twit TV This Week in Enterprise Tech. It's about 31 minutes in, and he's got the link, and I'll put there in the show notes as well. It's about 31 minutes in. This box has some amazing specs. ITUSnetworks.com, and he said, sent from my iPad using Apple's Magic Fairy Dust.
Jeepity Christmas. Keep that to yourself, or everybody's going to want some.
How did you get some? I took a look at this thing, and it's a little box, and it has an in and an out and a console cable. It's got an SD card in it, but it's the same kind of the same thing where you can use it as a it says it prevents malware, prevents exploits, filters websites, unlimited devices, lifetime updates. It looks like it was a Kickstarter campaign at one time. I remember hearing about this from Matthew Williams at one time. So it looks interesting. I'm interested to test it out. It looks like maybe they have different Shield versions for home, for small office. So they have different grades, if you will. But I'm looking. I may go ahead and order one of these. What did he say? It was $188. Let's see. I'm going to the store. Yeah, $188 pre-ship. So it doesn't even start shipping until next month. What they said is Shields inspects all the data coming into your home and filters it using an inline intrusion protection system. It's the same type of active advanced threat prevention utilized in millions of businesses around the world. It says it protects you against wide range of threats, including viruses, scams, malicious websites, Java, browser, and file exploits, drive-by downloads, watering hole attacks, botnets, data theft, remote access trojans, and keyloggers. It's kept up to date by the latest threats online. So it has, it's 2 1 gigahertz processors. It's got a gig of RAM, 4 gigs of storage, 3 gigabit interfaces, an RJ45 console, SD card interface, and an RJ45 serial console. Ouch. It says it's pre-ordered right now for $188. After that, it's going to go up to $229.
You know, not to interrupt here, but a watering hole attack, that's a new one to me.
That would be...
And, yeah, I'm reading on this right now. I mean, it makes sense. I see it, but that's very interesting.
You could look it up, but you could tell us what it is.
Well, that's our homework for this week, listeners. According to Wikipedia, watering hole, it's computer attack strategy in which the victim is a particular group. In this attack, the attacker guesses or observes which websites the group often uses and infects one or more of them with malware. Eventually, some member of the targeted group gets affected. So, it's like infecting the whole group by leaving a bit of infected cheese out, knowing that the group eventually will frequent that area and eat the cheese. Watering. Have you ever heard that? I've never heard that phrase before. I like it.
I have, just because the difference is that you're targeting your attack based on your attack victims, the victim's rules. Like, it would be making sure that you lay spikes or you put nails in the road, because every time I leave my driveway, I always turn right. And every time I'm going to pick to the school to pick up my son, I always go down this road. So if I'm always going down that road, we're going to put, we're going to put a virus there that Martin's always going to get.
Right. So, yeah.
Dig it. As opposed to just throwing it out there and saying, well, I hope somebody goes to this website, but with the watering hole type attack, you're being specific as in the location they're going, but then you can be specific to what there is. So if they know that, that I not only do I go to this website all the time, but I have this type of a computer, now they can be really specific. Now they're not worried if Tim goes to the website, because it doesn't matter. They're not trying to attack Tim. They're trying to attack Martin. And so they'll go to that website with a specific plan to attack Martin.
Right. Got it.
But yes,
heard that phrase before. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is fair. I mean, I've heard it a couple times on like things like Security Now, but it's a great
watering hole. It's perfect.
Watering hole.
Yeah.
Do we have a Podnuts watering hole?
Yeah, it's called Ohio Linux Fest.
I guess it would be.
Can we change the subject now?
Okay, sure.
Nobody came back from High Linux Fest infected. Okay, thanks, dear. Everything's fine.
It was not specific to you, Tim.
No,
don't worry about
not,
it.
That's right. It was not specific to me. No shenanigans. It's all just computer dorks. Don't worry. Nothing happened. It's fine.
LTSB, their LTSP, as in Paul, networks have been around for a while, and I've worked with a company. We actually set one up for the school, and this is what this is. It's the LTSP stands for Linux Terminal Server Project, and you're moving away from like in a classroom setting, all of these different multiple different computers acting as standalone, to all of them connecting to one central place. You have a major server, and everybody's connecting to that, but they're doing their same things. But when they connect in, they use like an RDP protocol or the SSH in. And so it's basically, we're going back to the kind of the green screen, the terminal type style is what this is. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I came across this article from at raspberrypi.org where they have something called PiNet, and you can manage a Raspberry Pi LTSP in a classroom.
Hmm.
So, and they actually have it set up. It looks like it has set up on some Motorola lap docks. So these are the HP makes some as well. When we set these up, we did it on a Windows server. So you get these devices from, and if there's a hard drive in it, they're very tiny. They just turn on. And when they turn on, you set them up to look to something to boot from. Okay, they itself don't have any operating system, or if they do, it's a very basic operating system, just enough to get them booted and running. You usually point them there. So it looks like this one here. They're using a Raspberry Pi or Raspberry Pis to actually set up a network, and it looks pretty cool, because you can have Raspberry Pis now. The Pi 2s are $35. So for the cost of a nice, for the cost of a decent computer or a decent laptop, you can get a couple Pis, and put them all together and now you can run a lab, you know, a lab off that. And this is something that they've put some pictures here. One of the things they did is they set this up in like Uganda, where you may not have a whole lot of resources, but you can use computers to boot from. And this is where the Pixie Boot stuff comes in. You would Pixie Boot the laptops. Even if you had a functional computer, you could Pixie Boot it so it boots to this terminal server, and now you can use your laptops instead of booting from the hard drive on itself. It's booting up from a third party place.
I almost get this. I have to stare at some more. But I like what's happening here. I just haven't quite... I've almost wrapped my mind around it.
So it says it's the script uses the LTSB to build a virtual Raspbian, so it's the Debian operating system, on a server, then let Raspberry Pi's network boot off of it.
God, these pictures are beautiful, man. This is so cool.
Yeah.
I need to look at this more. I just, you know what, whenever I see technology that's cheap and just the basics, man, just the basics, getting people on the internet, just getting them to use a computer, just getting information from the internet into people's hands that couldn't otherwise, you know, just, oh my gosh, I just love it. That really lights my fire, man. And I'm seeing this. I'm seeing, like, there's a picture here. It's just like a whole row, man, of like Motorola laptops. Or here, the next picture, I'm looking at another picture down here. I just see keyboards and screens, but it's just like, I see like a Raspberry Pi, like boot screen. That to me is just so cool.
Yeah. And we have to admit, we're a wealthy country, you know, whether you're deemed wealthy or not, you know, by the standards of society. We have a lot of resources, you know. I have 7 computers, not counting my phones and tablets in my home, you know. We all have many computers, but you go into, you know, third world countries, you know, I've got some friends and right now who landed in India yesterday, and they're there for 2 weeks or a week and a half in India. And those people are so happy, but they don't have this stuff. And this is where you can take what we would consider junk hardware, package it up, send it to another country, set it up, and now they have system resources to be able to get on the internet, to be able to do research, to be able to, you know, connect and Skype and talk to with other people with other countries.
It sounds something like John Mad Dog Hall would be into.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He actually was looking at doing some Raspberry Pi stuff, and yeah, his is the Kawa project.
Right. 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 Sounds familiar.
Look. Who? John Mad Dog Hall.
Okay. Yeah, and just to back up from it, it's up until very recently in history, it was about taking, you know, quote unquote junk hardware, or basically hardware that was a generation or two out. And so, you know, what am I going to do with this? You know, I have stuff collecting dust, but it could very easily be repurposed to this, so that it didn't even have to be like quote unquote junk hardware anymore. We're talking about brand new, but very inexpensive hardware. I mean, we're talking brand new off the shelf stuff, you know, that's because you're talking about, you know, a Raspberry Pi, $35. I mean, some very basic hardware, you know, as far as like peripherals to go along with that. It doesn't even have to be like our old throwaways anymore. It's just, you know, really inexpensive stuff off the shelf. It's, you know, I don't know. I mean, some days I think technology is just the devil, and then other times I'm greatly encouraged by it. So,
yeah, it's Project Kawa, and I put a link in the show notes. Now, this is an article from 2010, and it says Project Kawa is regarding São Paulo in Brazil. And he wants to enable people. It says, simply put, Project Kawa aims to enable people to become system administrators and then become business people to become their own bosses. Well-trained technology person might not know much about business planning or marketing, but Project Kawa can do that for them through a skeletal package. They can provide training materials online or on a cheap DVD so they can train themselves. And they offer apprenticeships for systems administrators to get them training. Now, this, like I said, this is from 2010. And I think his plan has changed a little bit, but it still has the same... he still has the same heart and passion for that. David Kelly says, and I know we've talked a lot about Androids and we talked about Raspberry Pis, but that's kind of what this show is about. We talk about a lot of things. David Kelly says that he built a wireless webcam with his Pi. My Raspberry Pi is being used downstairs. It's the first generation. That's my, it's running Kodi, which is it used to be XBMC. That's my media center, and it pulls all my data right from my Linux, right from my Windows NAS. So we just watch movies right from there. And I use my tablet or my phone as a remote control.
Yes.
So I haven't bought another Pi yet. I'm thinking about it. And what I want to do with my other Pi is actually get a TV monitor or a bigger monitor, put it up here above me, and run my GFI on it. I think, because all it is, I just want to view a web page and have it running every, you know, refresh every minute or so. And that way, when something happens and I get it flagged, I can look up there and I see, oh, something's red. I know there's an issue somewhere.
That's perfect. You know what? That's exactly what I wanted. And I joked about it. But back when I was working with the guy and we were using that, I was like, we need like mobile command headquarters or something, you know, but just like a giant screen, man, just with that huge dashboard. And as soon as a big red flag pops up, and that's funny because I think that's, of course, you're not, yeah, I'm talking like Batcave kind of stuff. I mean, you're talking about something actually like useful and functional, and that would actually like serve a real purpose. But, you know, it's not like you have to, because that to me was a problem, the dashboard. It's that, you know, you're only catching the stuff when you're like, when you log into it and you inspect it. It's not like it wasn't like in front of me all the time that I could just like take a glance up. I mean, you could make alerts and so it's in your email. Pfft, nobody needs that in their life because you'll get a million emails. But, you know, that's, I always imagine like just something like that where I could just take a glance up and boom, okay, well, I see there's something going on too. I should check. Because I was just checking it like periodically throughout the day and then I would, you know, be seeing things. So.
And so many things are web-based now. You know, when I worked back in education, we had two giant 50-inch monitors up on the wall, and all it was doing was reading a web page that was cacti, you know, so we could see when networks would fail. We would see when internet drops between that, and, you know, we could do that, and, you know, and you just use a Raspberry Pi. I mean, Cody uses his Raspberry Pi, and the nice thing about the Pi is it's just an SD card. You just load up what you need. You just do it. Cody uses his at his shop, and he streams videos on it, circles videos on it. David Kelly says he's working with a restaurant right now to show menus on a screen. So we no longer need...
Oh, very cool.
You know, okay. We no longer need to be able to get a box, a small computer box or something like that. You get yourself a $35 Raspberry Pi, grab Noobs, and look for Noobs, Noobs. You flash your SD card, you run it off that. What do you want to do with it? You want to run this ad, the application, that application? Noobs is kind of a package installer, so when you run it, it'll ask you, what do you want to do with it? And it lists all of these different distros for you, and you hit, I want that one. And it loads it for you, and you're up and running.
Nice.
So I'm going to have to purchase one. They've been running out, and so I don't know. And I haven't really – it's one of those things where I would like to do that on the wall, but I have to spend money. And is it worth it? Because I know that really what would happen is if I put it up on the wall, I would be running my dashboard, yeah, in one tab and probably Netflix or Hulu in another tab. So I have to be honest with myself that I'm keeping myself from sitting here all day staring at the wall watching TV. Really,
you know. Yeah. Yeah, I believe. I understand. I mean, it would be. I hear a door creak, and you see my Angry Birds. Like, you know, I have to hit the boss button. You know, make Angry Birds go away.
Minimize. What are you doing? Nothing. No. What were you doing? Nothing. All right, I was watching. You know, what was it, Mitch? New Jersey Medium.
Long Island.
Long Island Medium.
My wife loves that show. I can't. It's just not real.
No, it's not real. It's the devil.
But people think it is.
Scary. I mean,
you get Penn and Teller, they'll disclose these type of people.
Terrible. Well, I used to think I was a medium until I couldn't guess which hand the ball was in a magician show, so I was like, I give up. It lasted for all of about 15 minutes.
I've had the ball in my own hand and guessed which guessed wrong.
That's the third time today.
That's when you know you're in bad shape.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially if you've only got one Ronald McDonald mitten on.
Right. It's not in the Ronald McDonald hand. It's not in the Ronald. Oh, it was. Was it like Homer Simpson? Don't push the button. Don't push the button. No.
Don't.
We have talked about DNS in the past, the domain name system, from different facets, whether you're doing web hosting, whether, you know, Google gets their DNS gets taken down. But we've talked a little bit about it, and I came across this, and I thought this was a great way just to kind of another refresher. What exactly is DNS? How does it work? What does it do? And this one is really nice. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but they talk about, you know, records. They talk about what the different types of records, how it would work, the MX records. Because when somebody says, oh, that's, I need you to create me an A record. Well, what is an A record? What is an MX record? What's a C name? You know, I thought I would throw this in there just to for somebody, you know, if you're interested, take a look at it. Kind of gives you some more information.
Very good.
Very that's good. All I have. Tell you right now.
It was good. That's all we got time for.
It was good. Very good show.
But I'm excited for my new toy. My wife doesn't know about it yet.
It's not too much money. It's a rifle.
It's not much of a toy. It don't sound like a toy to me.
And it's going to come in handy.
Come back. If you could find some like really frivolous way to use it, well, okay. So, you know, that puts it into the landscape of toys. But, I mean, right now
it's great for taking minutes.
It sounds like a tool.
Yeah. Well, and I'm gonna put it through my paces. I'll take it to different. I've got a couple places. I'm meeting with a gentleman. Excuse me. He's written a couple times. His name is Joe. He lives here in the Portland area. We're actually getting together next Monday. He has a client that their wiring apparently is a disaster. They went down, like they unplugged something. They don't know what they're doing. They plugged it back in. They got it up and running. They want us to come in and just take a look at it.
That would be a great spot.
I'm going to take notes anyways. Walk around my tablet. I can draw on it. I can make little notes on it. Make some recommendations. So, Dennis, she doesn't listen to the show.
Is that the Pawnuts Joe you're talking about? You used to call?
Joe Mesmer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he contacted me last week and said, you know, could you, it was kind of late in the day. Could you run out and get this client up and running? And I said, sure. They're way on the east side. I knew it was going to take me a while because it was just about 5 o'clock. And I called them up and they said, well, we're going to call you right back. So, okay, you know. And they said, well, we got everything situated. We just kind of started unplugging and plugging stuff in. And I said, oh, okay, it's working. But Joe sent me some pictures, and I can see changes right off the bat. It looks like a lot of their wireless access points are plugged into the WAN interface. So I have a feeling that they're going to say, our wireless devices can't talk to our network. And it's because they've already created two subnets, you know, separated the subnets that way. They're running some old, there's a Linksys blue box on the wall. It's the, you know what I'm talking about? When you look at the box and you go, that's a Linksys.
Yeah.
They have one of those already there. So, you know, I'm already thinking in my head, well, what are we going to do about replacing that? Because I can see they have Comcast out to that box. Maybe we'll put a new TP-Link VPN router in, something higher end, something with a little more gusto on it, because that's an older box. It's 10-100. Let's get them up to a gig for a $100 box. And we'll go. We'll get some, you know, maybe some new wireless access points in there. But they don't look very big, but it's going to be a great place where I'm going to be able to take notes, draw some pictures, and really look into that. How about you guys? Anything coming up exciting this week?
Well, here's something exciting. We all know and love Mike Smith. He's just upgraded his Verizon service to the Quantum. So he did a speed test. Check this out. 313.59 down and 344.7 up. It's
wow,
unbelievable,
man.
So he got like 53 comments on his Facebook
after he did that. I ran mine just to see because I couldn't remember, and I hit 125 down and 10 up.
What do you who are you with? You're with Comcast, aren't you?
I'm with Comcast. Yeah,
you do get that much? I don't get it ever. I get like in the 90s to 100.
But 300 plus down and 300 plus up. See, that's the thing. He's got a huge upload.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you don't realize how much you need it until you use it. But that's amazing.
See, he uses an old Logitech camera. He needs to upgrade that camera.
I haven't seen it. I listen to the shows. I just haven't seen
it. Yeah, I listen to it. I very rarely listen to it live, but I do listen to his shows.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I get a lot of information from him.
Some people think I got an old camera, but I just look old.
Well, no, you move around fast. You're kind of a ninja.
But if you're still you're still going through a core two, Tim.
My real life is fuzzy. It's actually my entire life is pixelated somewhat. I mean, it's a very it's an accurate representation of my life.
I have one core two duo left. My laptop upstairs. I got rid of all my other core twos. Just gave them away. Because I mean, if you're doing a Google Plus Hangout, it's you can't do too much other than that. It's not very good for that either. So all my machines I have now are i5s and i7, except for the laptop upstairs. And, well, i3.
Sounds good. So, Tim, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way they can do that?
Tim Bauermeister on Google Plus. Find me there.
Nice. If people want to get a hold of me, they can email at martin@obandocomputing.com, or they can just check me out. I'm Obando Computing in the chat, and I'm Obando in the Google Plus.
And why would anybody want to get a hold of me? But you can at geeksters.com, geeksters@podnuts.com, or send us a voicemail at 707-6-PODNUT. That's 707-676-3688.
Yeah. And if you want to buy something like I bought something earlier today, podnest.com/Amazon. It's never too early to buy yourself a gift, a tool, buy your wife something she'll enjoy.
A boogie board.
A boogie board. Buy your wife a boogie board. There you go. And coming on right after this, well, we'll just talk about that later. So, guys, thanks for coming and hanging out with us. And we'll talk with you probably not next week. We're probably going to not be on Tuesday next week because my daughter has a dentist appointment. But we'll figure out another day to do it.
I do too, by the way.
Sorry, but you'll just hear like an hour of that.
Impressionist.
All right, guys. Have a great fiscal week, and don't forget to be grateful.